Last week we talked about overcoming our fear of speaking the truth. Today the theme is seeking the truth. A number of you have asked me to speak about the topic of racism, so we're going to try to seek the truth as best we can with regards to racism. We're going to try to find out what's morally true, what are the facts, and how we can contribute to its eradication. Jesus' teaching in the gospel gives us some guidance in our search for truth, and there are 3 points here. First, he says, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. This teaching is very difficult. It was difficult just for us now, just as it was back in Jesus' time. For the Jewish people, family was so important. But the question still we all have to ask ourselves, do we love Jesus more than our family? And as I've said many times before, if we love Jesus more than our family, we're not going to love our family less. We will, in fact, love them more than we already do. Now, that said, as the Catechism states, family ties are important, but they're not absolute. Jesus says that he is the truth. He is the truth. So we're going to have to look at his teaching again from this perspective. Look at the change in words. Whoever loves father and mother more than truth is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than truth is not worthy of me. And this is actually beautiful if we love the truth more than our family. Because once you do, you can no longer be pushed around by the crowd. You can no longer be manipulated. A lot of us are going to have to train ourselves to do this because this does not come naturally. We actually have to train ourselves to love the truth above everything else. We're not used to it because our society teaches us that all truth is relative, and that's not true. And they teach us that family, friends, are the most important criterion, but truth is even more important. Second point, Jesus says, whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. We usually use this saying of Jesus to talk about bearing the inconveniences of life, and that's entirely true. But when Jesus is speaking these words to his audience, to his disciples, he was talking about, I need all of you to be ready to embrace this shameful death. So those Christians, those followers of Jesus, they knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. In those Roman times, when the Romans crucified people, they did it in public. They did it along the roads to intimidate a population into conformity. You do this, otherwise we crucify you. And so Jesus is saying to us, if we love him, if we love the truth above all else, a cross is coming. A very serious, painful cross is coming. And we shouldn't be surprised at that. Third point, whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. We have to conform ourselves to the truth. We constantly have to adapt ourselves to do that. And whenever we learn something new, we have to conform ourselves to that truth, and that involves a kind of dying to ourselves. You know whenever you have to admit that you're wrong? Because you learn something that's more true, it feels like you're dying. You know, I told you, I think it was 2016, that I can't do spiritual direction for all of you now. As your pastor, I have to focus on leadership, sacraments, and preaching. And that was a dying to self. When I learned that truth in this position as pastor, I want to do spiritual direction for all of you, but I can't. That involved the death to self, but it brought new life because I started realizing that if I do my primary priorities as your pastor, this is actually better for you. I can actually love all of you better. And ultimately, this is better for you. Some of us are stubborn, and we cling to our opinions even when we receive new factual information. It feels good to say, oh, I'm not mistaken. It feels good to never have to change our opinion or our views or our attitudes. But if they're mistaken attitudes and we don't admit that, we're just fooling ourselves. Life is not about being right. Life is not about appearing right in front of other people. the point of discussions is not to win. What's the point of having a discussion? To know the truth. And ever since I learned this, that what is the point of a discussion? It's not to win. If it's to find the truth, now, you know, in 20 years since I have adopted this mentality, I've never lost a discussion. Why? Because I'm not in it to win it. What's the win? Learn the truth. So every time you correct me, I win, no matter what. If I modify my position even by a little, I'm more conformed to the truth, I win. So it's incredible freedom here. So let's take these principles and try to apply them to racism as we're seeking the truth regarding racism. I'm going to make 4 points. First point is we're going to start with moral principles. Should be obvious to everyone that racism is a grave moral evil. We should feel righteous anger whenever someone is unjustly discriminated against, and I hope all of us do. It's a wonderful sign, it was a positive sign when there is a moral outrage at the way George Floyd died. The suffering he endured, four people who are meant to protect us, they caused his death. Another moral principle. Some of us have also been personally affected by racism. I mentioned to you in my family history this one time, this one example. At a certain point in my parents' courtship, some of my Chinese members wouldn't accept my Caucasian mother. Another example, there is a survey by Angus Reid. It showed that half of Chinese Canadians have been insulted since the pandemic, and 43% of them have been threatened or intimidated. To seek the truth, we need to acknowledge our pain, including our pain, our personal pain. And when we acknowledge it, then we seek healing. We should also do everything we morally can to end racism, which means never being racist ourselves, teaching other people not to be racist, and then correcting people who are. We should participate in events and peaceful protests to end racism. But as Christians, the most important thing we do is we pray for people's conversion, the conversion of heart. There should also be a condemnation of riots and looting because the ends don't justify the means. To say riots are wrong, that doesn't mean we're being light on racism. One moral error is to say, because racism is so heinous, any means necessary to eradicate it is justified. That's a moral error. Another moral error would be, because racism is so heinous, it's understandable if people loot, if people riot. That's morally incorrect, because evil is never corrected with more evil. We should follow moral forms of protest. I told you once about an event in 1955. In Alabama, 40,000 Black Americans for 1 year refused to take the bus. And that was at great personal hardship. They didn't take the bus to and from work. Very sacrificial. But what it did is it crippled the bus's finances. And that's a good moral form of protest. And finally, there should be a healthy respect towards police officers and lawful authority. Respect doesn't mean we can never criticize. Respect means we hold people to a very high standard. Second point, we have to search for the facts. Moral principles on racism are clear, but sometimes the concrete facts are disputed. Is there systemic racism in Canada? How much? Against whom? How much corruption is there in the police? What are the facts regarding racism in Canada, as opposed to the US, as opposed to other countries? Now, some people might object to these questions even being raised, thinking there are obvious answers. There might be obvious answers, but people are still allowed to ask the questions in order to verify facts. Right now, there's a strong tendency to shout people down who disagree with the common consensus. That's not right. In order to think, in order to learn, you need to be able to ask questions freely. You need to be able to listen for answers. Many people are against racism, but we might disagree about what we know about the current situation and what's the best way to fight it. I want to give you 4 very simple principles about having a good discussion. Number 1, When we lay out the facts as we know them, be dispassionate. We have to give people an opportunity to receive what we're saying, to absorb it. We never want to force people to accept what we're saying immediately. Be dispassionate. Number two, focus on one topic rather than jumping around. You know how sometimes we do that in conversations? We go all over the place and the conversation is very loose and we're not arriving at any truth. We're just hopping around with a continuous stream of consciousness. So for example, I might share an experience about racism in Vancouver and then I'll nationalize it to Canada and then I'll somehow bring it back to my own personal experience. We can't do that when we're searching for truth. We need to focus. Number three, qualify your statements. So when we're making assertions, we want to be as specific and precise as possible. So if we say something happened, when did it happen? Where did it happen? If we're quoting someone, get the quote right. Number four, always be willing to modify your position within a discussion. So if I'm discussing something with you, if there's a hint of truth in what you say, I want to concede that. I want to affirm that. I want to acknowledge that. And whenever I learn even a slight new truth, I modify my position. So even if we're having a discussion, I will say within discussion, let me change what I just said. Now that you've taught me something new, that some truth, I'm going to change my position right now on the spot. There's nothing wrong about that. That's very healthy. I recently had a discussion with two teenagers here, and they changed my mind on certain points. And I bring this example up because anyone can change my mind. Even teenagers can change my mind because I'm looking for truth. And we followed these principles within the discussion. We were focused, weren't jumping around, were being specific, and I was open to modifying what I know.